Welcome to Big Natural Talents.
Hello, girlies. Hello, Conchetta. We are here, the Big Natural Talents. We're back after the live episode. How are we feeling?
Feeling good. I know that the girlies are absolutely starving for us and this. You've hated it, haven't you?
They're furious at us. The girlies are mad. No, sorry, and thank you so much for letting us have a little break, I guess. We were, yeah, keeping up all the episodes on time while we were away and everything, but then it just got too much with us not crossing over, because then we were in Melbourne together for a bit and then I went to Brisbane and Conchetta's at home and then I come home and Conchetta goes to Brisbane and it's just confusing. So we're back and we're here to stay.
We're back and we're here to stay and we are better than ever. And we are going to keep doing that little thing that we do.
Mm-hmm. Talking.
To each other with microphones.
Microphones, wherever we find ourselves. Well, I'm joining us from, you can probably hear it in my voice. You can probably hear it in the air, the humidity. I'm in Brisbane, the beautiful city of Brisbane. I love Brisbane. People will rag on it.
No,
but it's a
not
nice
me.
Place.
I think it should be the capital of Australia.
It should be. I mean, the Gold Coast really should be.
Yes.
Hollywood on the Gold Coast.
Hollywood. Keep Gold Coast Hollywood. You know, there's something there.
But I've been doing my show. It's been good. It's been good. It's so weird though. Like, I was thinking about it, like, you do the same show more or less over and over and it's different every time. And people just sometimes think it's funny and sometimes they don't. And it's just, there was like, I had two great shows and then last night it was fine as well. I'm hard on myself, but they were like just a real listening audience. And I, like, do you ever do a gig that's so weird? I wish I could like do an exit survey of people and just be like, hey, like, do you have any, like, what do you think happened up there? Like, what's your feedback? Like, I'm so interested. I die to know what people leave and talk about the show to themselves.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's so crazy, like, the amount of, like, not feedback you get. Or even, like, when a show goes really well, you might get, like, two people on Instagram being like, hey, great show.
Yeah.
I'm like, God, I just want to know. Just want you to write a blog about it or something.
Totally. It is doing this to avoid sometimes, you know?
Mm.
And I think we should do that. I think you guys need to send us something. Say something. Send something.
Maybe.
Come after.
Maybe. What if I get like an email now that's like a detailed criticism? I'd be like, see, like now if people did do that, I think it was crazy. So
that is crazy. No, positive only. Positive
what
only.
I would want to do, okay, is what I would want to do ideally is people go see the show and then I go backstage and I get into a disguise with prosthetics, like a Mike Myers.
Oh, my God, undercover boss.
Undercover boss, okay? And then I go undercover boss and they all like go out to a dinner, okay? The audience goes out to a dinner and they discuss the show with each other and I'm undercover boss. I'm the waitress and I keep coming over and bringing them drinks and I get to catch tidbits of what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But I've got like a big hook nose on and glasses. And so I get to hear it, but it's like they don't know that I'm hearing it.
No.
Yeah?
No. That's awesome.
Yeah. You should orchestrate that. That's the kind of idea that I'd love to like sit down and ask my manager to make happen and they would like be like, that's crazy. But they'd be like, we can do that if you want.
Amazing. So, well, that's so funny because after one of my gigs, I had someone come up to me after, waited towards the end, which was awesome. And he, you know, he loved the show. He loves the podcast, blah, blah, blah. And here's something I want to bring to you. He said, look, love the pod, love the girlies, but he wanted to clarify who are the girlies? Like, are the girlies all the listeners, regardless of gender, or are the girlies just the girls? And because he's a straight guy, but he listens to the pod. Like, Are we the Boysies? Because like also people in the small crossover between this and the Quibble Hour, Ben talks about what he does is for the Boysies. Like we have more of a distinction. Like that's what he brings that lacks in this is like a voice for the Boysies. So talking about is like shitting and farting. And even though we do that, it's different.
Sorry,
like,
Boysies, 40. It's not for you.
So I was just thinking, I was like, what do you think in your brain when we say the girlies, like, and are the patrons their own girl? It's like, let's get into the universe that is the Big Natural Talent.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because then if we are saying, I've thought in my head that just all listeners are the girlies.
Yes.
And that's broad. And I know we've got listeners who are of all genders and all sorts, and like, you know, whatever, however you identify. But I hope as well, maybe if you don't identify as a girlie, us calling you girlies is not nice for you. I don't know, sound off, let us know. But to me, it's a broad term for all our listeners, I feel. It's like the community of the girlies. However, if you then have the Quibble Hour where Ben is referring to the Boysies, then that begs the question, is the Quibble Hour and BNT in the same universe? Because if it is, are people simultaneously a girlie and a Boysie?
Yeah.
You know, that's the question. But maybe it's not. Maybe BNT is like, you know, the Avengers and the Quibble Hour is Batman. It's different.
It's different.
They're different worlds, different universes.
I think also maybe he said this is because in my stand-up, when I talk about being one of the girls, it is specifically gendered-based of like girls, not any guys.
This is incredibly inconsistent. And
I'm the one that's like slutting it on all the universes. Mm. I'm running over here. I'm running over there. I'm running my mouth on stage. So maybe I'm the one that's muddying the waters. But I think I agree with you that anyone who listens is a girly and a big natural talent and a big juicy natural.
A BNT, like an Ovaltini. That works.
Funny. And a martini.
Yes. A BNTini, because they're teeny tiny.
You guys are teeny tiny.
Teeny tiny listeners. And we have to release the podcast extra quiet for the BNTinis. Tiny.
Tiny. Doesn't matter who you are, how you identify. Everybody wants to be tiny, tiny, tiny.
Teeny. BNTinis.
Yeah, that's cute. That's the new word for the universe. Love.
If you're not a girly, you're a BNTini. It's kind of like an arancini as well.
Whoa, yes, arancen stands.
Yeah, that's if you're a fan of BNT and arancen.
You're an arancini. I love that. I should say this, and I don't know if I ever told you this, Lauren, but when I found out, I think I did, but for everyone to know that when I found out Aaron Chen got engaged because I saw his fiance
at a gig. As well.
Congratulations, obviously. But like I'd messaged you, Lauren, being like I'd seen posts of them and I was like, are they dating? Like this is amazing. I know them both from ex uni days, like in the past, in like totally different worlds. And so it's even more interesting when two people get together and you like know them both a little bit and it's like more interesting when they knew each other. It's like, wow, how did that happen? Kind of like Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker, knowing that they were friends for 8 years and then it's like, whoa, rewarding when they're together. And so when I saw her, I was like,
Aaron and Esther, a lot like Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker.
Absolutely.
Similar unions.
Yes.
And you found out.
And so she said to me, she's like, yeah, we're dating. And then she like held up the ring. And I shit you not, I burst into tears, like could not contain the like overwhelming feeling of just like joy and like shock and like just happiness. Like it was just like, oh my, you know I love, you know I love romance. And no one knows this, but if you know this, like I have such a soft spot for Aaron Chen, like Aaron Chen, and I guess everyone does. That's why he's like the people's princess. But like Aaron Chen, this like angel, this like guardian angel, just like this huge declaration of love and for Esther and someone so beautiful. I had to like sit down and everyone was like looking at me and I know what the narrative was. Everyone was like, Kachetta wishes he was her. Kachetta wishes that Aaron Chen proposed to her. And in some ways, maybe that is true. And in other ways, maybe it's true that like, yes, everyone knows that I'll marry Ben one day. And when the time, Kokosuki, but it really wasn't
when,
that.
When, Ben? TikTok.
But really it wasn't that. Like it was just like, I was so overwhelmed with emotion. And especially maybe in the fact that I relate to like the awkward guy, the guys that you don't scream like romantic love and seeing them in a sexual way, which is I think Ben in a way, and very much Aaron and your Sam Campbells and your Dan Rats, that like when something like this happens, it like you're like, what? You're like, this is even more special. Like everyone's gonna roll their eyes when I get married because like that's all I think and breathe. And everyone's like, of course. But like for something like that, it was just so, and he's just such a good guy. And I just had to say that. And so he didn't even know, like Esther told him. And then the next time I saw him was like a week later. And I was like, hey, you must have heard. And he's like, yeah, thank you so much for just like sobbing all night. I was sensitive. Like I was really emotional.
When a quirky man opens his heart, it's more vulnerable than anyone else. And you did. When you found out, I just got two messages from you. I got a message that was like, Aaron Chen is engaged. I just found out. I can't stop crying.
Also, I just did I don't know if it was audible, but a big spit take when you said that.
Oh no. Because it's true. And I mean, God, it sounds like we're about to introduce Aaron as a guest and we're not. Sorry. We'll get him on. We have to get him on the pod now. We should get an exclusive with him and Esther.
Yes! Please! I would actually scream. You know, I love couples. It's like also Quibble Hour universe. We can ask him about quibbles if that's allowed. But
the tabloids are chasing Mr. Chen and he refuses to talk. He's a famously private man.
Private!
Anytime I'm with my manager, because we have the same manager, Craig is like always getting phone calls and he's like, yep, no, he's not available to talk. He's not really talking about that at the moment. Thank you so much. Like, people want to interview Mr. Chen.
Of course.
They want to talk about the engagement. He's his softest side.
He's the most interesting man in the world. And I love Rathi and I love Cambo, but I actually don't think I'm going to cry when they get married. I'm going to roll my eyes. You know, it's Chenny. This isn't a joke. Marriage isn't a joke. Sam Campbell, okay? That's what I have to say to Ben Caution. You know, you can't wear shorts to our wedding, Ben, okay?
He wants to. What if you got one of like a suit shorts? I went to a wedding last week, actually.
Oh, yeah. How was it?
It was lovely. It was beautiful. But you know what I was thinking about? And what I always think at weddings is like, I feel like the couple are always like, they're like standing there and like, you know, then the celebrant's talking about them and then everyone gets up and does a speech about them. But you never hear as much from the couple themselves. I always feel like when I get married, I'm like going to need a mic. Like I'm going to need a riff on these vows. I'm probably going to do the first speech. I'm probably going to want to MC the wedding, actually.
Yeah, open and close.
Yeah. Because it's always like there's so much going on. It's all about them, but it's not like them putting on the show. And I think it's just me. it would be so hard for me to stand next to someone with a mic and just have to watch them.
Yeah, that's so funny. That's so funny.
I think, everyone in the bridal party will have to have a microphone. It's like a live podcast.
That's the dream. That's the dream. And if you say, if you're one of the brides, you're like, yeah, I'm booked. I'm booked and I booked Lauren's wedding.
Are you doing Lauren's wedding? Yeah, it should be all right.
Is it paid?
And everyone at the bridal table like has a mic and like so people give a speech, but then people like chuck in their riffs and stuff. I'm going to have to, maybe I'll get like a Britney mic for the whole night just so I'm
I'm on the PA. That's so funny. You are giving me the energy of like, J-Lo in The Wedding Planner. Like, you are all the roles. You are the mumager. You are the planner. You are the star. You are the MC. You are, like, just, like, you fingers in every pie.
Yeah. Oh, and guess what? I'm also the bride.
Surprise. I thought you were going to be like, I'm also in the pie. I'm coming out of the pie.
And I'm in the pie that I made myself.
This giant-ass pie. That's huge. This is huge. Love to talk weddings. But there's more to be said. Yeah, what else is news?
You were in a car accident. That's pretty big.
And I have to tell you something so funny. Mm. Well, that day I deemed it car crash day. I would like get text and I'd be like,
you get the day. You get the
day. I'd be like, how can they be texting me on car crash day? And I was like, next year when we celebrate car crash day, let's not forget that April, whatever it was, was car crash day. What do you call it when you acknowledge a day? Yeah, you do the day. It's like it's not respect the day. It's like
remember.
Anyways, you honor the day or something. Yeah, remembrance. Anyway, so it was car crash day. Yes, I was in a horrific car accident.
I mean,
everyone's alive. No one died.
Sorry,
but it was.
I wouldn't say horrific.
But it was horrific. It was so scary. Yeah, I pissed my pants. I pissed myself. Didn't even know. So it was just at this really bad intersection where a lot of crashes happen, where you're like crossing. It's like a main road and you're crossing lots of lanes. And my sister looked both ways, I think, but like she looked right and then she looked left. But then I don't think she looked right one more time. And so then she went to go. And here's the crazy thing is like I didn't see it happen. I just like felt it. Like I wasn't looking. I just looked straight ahead. So then all I heard was just like the worst noise in the world. Mm. And then just feeling like crushed, like just feeling like everything closing in. And I was like in shock. And the first thing I said was like, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. It was just like, it just felt like the world stopped in the most abrupt way. It's like unlike anything. Cause I guess I haven't been in an accident like that. So it was like towards bad, but obviously it wasn't bad that someone died or someone was seriously injured. But the car was pretty much total vibes.
Yeah.
And here's the worst part is that I couldn't see because I didn't realize my glasses had flown off in the accident. So like I'm like, what's happening? I can't see anything. I'm in shock and I'm like, I can't see anything. I can't see my sister. I can't see what's going on. What the fuck? The best thing about it was really nice. People came. So many people like stopped and came. The driver came out. He was so nice. And this woman came out and she was like, turn off the engine and like come out and you girls are okay. And I just kept saying like, I can't find my glasses. I need my glasses. Where are my glasses? And then I had to call my mom and she was like, where are you? And I couldn't see where we are because I didn't have my glasses. So I'm waiting for people to tell me. Then I popped some contacts in and then, and then that was that. And I guess if we speed it along.
I didn't know your eyesight was that bad.
Yeah, it's bad. It is. I'm very like very up. I'm short-sighted. So anything close up I can see and read. But pretty from like we're talking 2-3 meters on, blurry city.
Wow.
And even if it's crazy. A bit blurry, it's distracting. It's like it feels wrong. It's not fun to be like, oh, everything's a little bit not clear. I want it clear from the get-go. So then anyways, we had to wait for like the ambos and the police and the tow truck and la, 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 la. But everyone was safe and it was fine. But I had a gig that night and
You didn't do it, did you?
No, but I was like, I texted Ben and he called me and I was like, should I go to the gig? And he was like, no, Conchetta, I'll text. And it's Mark David. Happy to give him a shout out. And a running theme with me has been like, I'm always worried that people don't believe me. Like the other day I was sick from work and I was like, just all I can think about is like, I need them to know that this is real. They don't know how sick they need to hear it. They need to see it.
I am
and
sick.
Yeah. And then the same with this car crash. So I still called Mark and I just like broke down in tears. And what I thought you would relate to this, Lauren, is that like he was such a man about it. Like he was like so curt, but like, you know what I mean? He was just like, oh, I'm glad you're okay. No, that's fine.
It's fine.
If you answer that and I called a girl, it would be totally different. He just was like, got it and was as warm as he could be as a man. And I forget that's just how men are. But it would be like, Lauren, you'd get this. We'd be like, are you mad at me? It was still are you mad at me vibes, even though he was trying to be comforting. So, I got out of the gig, which was great. And, yes, I got up and my pants are wet. And I just thought it was so funny that even though the car, this big van, hit my sister's side and my sister was like, okay, I'm the one who made it all about me and wet my pants. And my mom was like, honey, you got to do Kegels. And I thought of you.
You do. I mean, you get a pass. You get a pass. You can piss yourself in a car accident. That's
Thank you.
You know, whenever you keep saying because you are sick and you're like, I keep coughing and pissing, like, girly. I'm doing them right now. Do them right now. Are you doing them? Hey, listeners at home.
I don't know how to do it. Like,
do your kegels right now.
I always feel my butthole clenching. Is that normal?
I think that's wrong. Just get the whole area up. You doing it?
Is everyone doing it?
Is everyone doing it? We know it. We'll know if you're not doing it.
I'm just like,
I think guys can do kegels too.
No. For their dick hole.
Yeah. No. It's not at the hole. It's like at the face. Imagine if they could clench the little hole in and out. Maybe they can.
Yeah, maybe they can, and they can stop pissing all over the seat and being so disgusting.
Yeah. Okay, guys, or people who anyone who has a penis, let us know if you can. Can you open and close the hole? Do you have that power?
Please write in.
Hands free. Write in. Don't make it like weird when you write in. Okay.
And I have another crazy story about a drunk girl, but let's go back to you. Have you got something?
What else have I been doing?
Updates.
The only other thing, I mean, I've got a few other things. I've got some gossip about Lea Michele that I want to do, but we'll do that right before listener gossip.
Yes, yes.
I'll also do a quick mention. I already talked about it on Patreon, but I've been drinking a lot of Frappuccinos since I've been on the road. I just love to get that out there. I love to get an almond milk Frappuccino with dairy whipped cream because it's the best of both worlds.
I'm obsessed with this order and I'm absolutely going to go get it.
And every time they're baffled every time because I either want as well, you can get them with no coffee or coffee. And I don't drink caffeine because of the medication I'm on, or I can drink like a little bit. So I've asked for decaf and they're like, well, we can just do no coffee. And I'm like, no, but like I want the taste of the coffee, but decaf.
Sorry, it sounds like a Frappuccino with no coffee is just like a big thick shake or something,
it's
or a big
just
milkshake.
A milkshake. Yeah.
It sounds like what I would used to get at Gloria Jean's. God, I miss Gloria Jean's. They are not as common as you think.
It is. It's incest, pretty much exactly that.
Incest is common as you think. I think Gloria Jean's is not as common as you think.
It's not.
I would order a Tim Tam chocolate chiller, which is just like milk and blended ice with fucking cream on top. Tim Tam's crush it. Like, that's – like, if that could be what a coffee was, honey, I'd be representing the country in drinking coffee.
I'm about to blow your mind because that's pretty much what a Frappuccino is.
Bitch, I'm actually literally, as soon as this is done, I'm so excited to get outside and leave this box that I spend so much time in. I'm going to run to the nearest coffee shop and order myself a fucking Frappuccino, bitch.
I don't think you could get a Frappuccino just at like any old cafe, you know?
What?
Like a hipster cafe isn't going to make your Frappuccino.
You really?
Need to like a Starbucks or something.
Oh,
this is Starbucks that I'm
going
kidding. To.
So it's like not a cool thing to get a Frappuccino.
No.
That's how cool I am. I have no idea what's cool. I'm like, that's bad to do that thing that I want to do?
I shouldn't have told you that. I'd actually love to see you walk into like a Reuben Hills in Surrey Hills and ask for a caramel Frappuccino.
And I'd also ask for like, and do you do chips on a stick or a hot dog deep fried? Deep fried Oreos, do you do that here?
Yeah. Do you do fairy floss or a Pluto pup?
And I'll get a Magnum Ego for dessert. Thank you.
Oh my god. Anyway.
Gun to your head, Lauren.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Are you gonna shoot?
That's what they do at Reuben Hills if you ask for a Frappuccino. They would pull a gun.
They put a gun to your head.
And then pull the fucking trigger. But no, I'm saying gun to your head, Magnum. You're in the Magnum universe. You can get any Magnum you want. Mm-hmm. What are you picking?
I'm in the Magnum universe. So 7-Eleven. I think two options are sticking out to me. One you've already named, the Magnum Ego. It is
the
a
most
great pick.
Extra of the Magnums.
It is. It's incredibly decadent because it's got double layer of chocolate and the caramel in between those layers of chocolate. mm-hmm. but a vanilla ice cream, which is refreshing, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
Either that or an almond magnum is also very good.
Yes. You know what's so funny? You know how people want like an after-dinner mint, like a mm-hmm. palate cleanser between? To me, that's the vanilla ice cream at the end of the Magnum Ego. It's like you've had the dessert and this and the vanilla is the like, okay.
Yes, it is. It is. It counteracts the richness. And this is also like what I've always talked about with my theory of pudding, which is what me and my boyfriend Alex call dessert, is if you have a pudding that's like a caramel pudding or like have like a carrot cake or something or vanilla ice cream, your pudding is not complete until you have your chocolate pudding as well.
Yeah.
Okay?
Absolutely.
So if you have a mango Weiss bar for dessert, like – that's nice, but what's for chocolate?
You're not finished.
Pudding?
You're not finished.
It's not complete. It's not a complete meal. It's not like it's like the food pyramid. You know, you've got to like have fulfill all of the needs of the pyramid. Oh, oh my god!
If you had,
yeah,
I was just gonna say, if you had a gun to my head to go back to uni, and I could major in anything or like write a thesis in anything, it would be this. It would be having opinions on desserts. And like what? Fleshing that out. Just this. This would be the thesis. I would work together with you on this. I don't know. I think there's something here.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what major, like what degree we could do this in.
No, food science.
Food science or like anthropology, I guess.
Mm.
Social science. It's because it's about attitudes towards food as well. Me and Alex have been doing this great bit, which actually reminded me of something you and Ben might do, because you and Ben have good bits that you do as a couple, and me and Alex have some too. We'll do this bit where he'll like go to the cupboard, and if they're like we bought some chocolate or something and then I ate a bunch of it, he'll be like, oh, that's so weird, all of this chocolate's gone, what would have, and I'm like, what? Who would have eaten that? No, because it was like full yesterday. And he's like, yeah, like I only had a bit and then you had a bit. So like where did it all go? And I'm like, that's – someone must have come in and eaten it. It's a good
My
bit.
Mind is blown because Ben
– do the same bit?
Crumpet and me do the exact same fucking bit.
Wow.
Constantly. Like that is like I'm my clit's on fire right now hearing that. We are like merged, we are one. That is exactly what Ben and I do, and it is so fun to make excuses. Ben, like honestly, I think he's made me laugh till I piss myself. Him taking that role, because obviously I'm the one that's always eaten more of anything same. And have had like that. I wish I will tape it actually. It makes me die. He's like, huh. It's always like a, huh. Like, we'll usually have, like a gelato thing, a tub from Riverino. And yeah, like, we got it. And then I'd, like, eaten it over the night. And then he'd be like, that's weird. And I'd be like, oh, didn't I tell you I had someone over? Like, someone came over.
Yeah.
And we'd be like, it's rats. Or, like, I think a rat gone in. Or, like, yeah, that's – it's just, like, the making the excuses and the, like, the play. It's, like,
the
sexual
storytelling.
It's so – it's, like – one of the joys, I'm telling you right now, it's one of the joys of my life are these little gags and interplays between my partner and me, and to hear that you guys do the same and in such, wow, in such direct, like absolute symmetry is quite beautiful.
It's amazing. I think it's probably a common bit, but it's a good one.
It's a good one. Please write in if you do this too.
Yeah.
In the Quibble Hour. Someone had a quibble. What's his name? He's a comic. This is bad. Fuck. What's his name? And he's like really chipper.
Describe him. Do one of his bits.
No. Barry Walsh.
Love Barry Walsh.
Barry Walsh. I was going to be like a really jovial, lovely man.
I would have got Barry from jovial. I think he really encompasses that word.
He does. He's like a joyful man. Anyways, he had a quibble with his partner where it's the same thing of like he loves sweets and if there's a sweet in the house, he's gobbling it up. And his girlfriend loves sweets less, but like she likes sweets, but like not in the same way that he does. Like she'll have a little bit and she'll stop, which is exactly Ben Koshin and I. Ben Koshin, like he's disgusting. Like he doesn't get it. And so their little quibble is that like he eats it before her and then she gets cranky, but he's like, but you were just going to let it sit there. Like, there's something there. Anyways, I would love to know from Barry, if he listens to this, and I'll just ask him, if they do that game, if they do the game of like, she's like, huh.
Or maybe if they don't, then this game is a fun, lighthearted way.
I think so. Yeah.
This is the antidote. It is. Because instead of going, why did you eat all the chocolate? It's going, no, stop. Let's make this an opportunity for a bit of fun. Okay. Fun. Let's go, huh. I wonder if Tony, the cat, ate all this chocolate. Is that bad for him? Do you reckon if Tony ate a whole block of Kit Kat? Because it could have only been him.
Yeah. It's so much better.
It's a bit of obsessed. Fun. It's a bit
obsessed.
Of fun.
Obsessed.
Did you have anything else? I've got one other thing that I could maybe talk about, but we've also got gossip, but no.
We've got gossip, dear, too, but I have to tell you the story because I think, again, it works in how you know me as who I am. It's okay. I think it's a story that will show you my people-pleasing nature that I am trying really hard to get out of, but I think there's more nuance to that, but anyway, sorry. So the other night, we're back from Melbourne and we had one gig that was pre-planned in a week where we just didn't want to do any gigs, and it was in Pyrmont. And I'd come straight from work, Ben picked me up, we went to Pyrmont and we were walking around. It's a bit dreary, it's a bit cold and wet, but it's nice to see Pyrmont. We're like, what a crazy place. It's like, must be so rich to be here. It's near the water, but why would you live here? But that's, I guess it's if you work in the city, it kind of works. And then I need to chuck a piss. So I go to the local pub in Pyrmont, just one pub on the corner. And I walk upstairs and I go, I do my piss. And then I come out and I'm washing my hands. A woman, a blonde woman, I would say mid to late 30s, walks in. And the first thing she says to me, and I'm wearing my like green Kmart coat, which everyone like gags over. And she's like, I love your coat. And I'm like, thanks, queen. It's at Kmart. Go get it. $35. And she just kept talking about the coat and being like, oh my God, it's so good. Like, oh my God, I'm going to take it.
You know, who is this just woman? Took it. Conchetta?
What do you,
she you?
Yeah. Well, yes. But not as warm, I would say, as I am. It
she's
was
aggressive.
Interesting.
She's like, I'm going to take it.
And I'm, but and that's like, what it was like. Really? She was like, I'm going to take it. Yeah. I'm like, just go get it. And she's like, just repeating herself a little bit. Anyways, and then she's like, can I tell you something? And I'm like, yeah. And she like pulls me in and she's like, and I just need you to understand that I now know that she was so drunk that it's like her story, she's saying things, but it's like hard to understand and it's hard to get clarification on her stories because she's this drunk and she's repeating herself a lot. But she's like, the last time I came in here was with my guy friends and I took all my clothes off. I took off all my clothes and then I got up on this, what's the thing called? It's like the bench where all the sinks are.
The sink bench.
She's like, yeah, and I got up. Like, I don't understand why she did it. She wasn't explaining why or what had happened. Yeah. She wasn't even saying it's because I was drunk. Like, it was just, they're the facts that I'm hearing. Just like, she took all her clothes off. I don't even know if she was pissing. And then she was like, and one of them came in. And I'm like, oh my God, what? Like, was it bad? Did he see you? But it sounded like he didn't see her. I also couldn't understand if she was standing on the top where the sinks are, or she also did this act out where like her legs are spread. Like, I had no idea what the fuck is happening, but she's just opened up. If we just take the site, she's just opened up about this insane story. Sounds like she's getting drunk a lot, being at this pub a lot. Who were these guys? I'm like, how do you know them? She's like, oh, they're friends. They're not from work. Then she starts to just go to the toilet with the door open. She's like, which is, you know me, that's what I'm like as a friend, but to a stranger, it was a little bit presumptuous.
So wait. She got naked and got up on the sink. And then she said, wait, one of her friends came in or one of the staff people came in?
No, I think a friend came in, but I don't know why. I don't know what was said. I don't know if he saw her. I don't know how it – like, this is what we're working with, people. Yeah. So then she starts to piss and I'm trying to make other conversation. Just know it's not like an easy – it's not like a fun thing where it's like, bitch, like, I love you. The girlies know when you're, like, drunk in the bathroom and you're being friends. It's not that. It's, like, really different. And so then she's sitting and she's pissing and I'm like, so, but I'm still trying to be warm. And I'm like, do you live near here? And she's like, yeah, I live around the corner. And I'm like, oh, wow, can I ask, like, what's it like to live here? It seems like – you must be rich, right? Like, it's so beautiful around here. She's like, no, my parents are really rich. And I was like, okay.
The plot thickens.
The plot does thicken. And then, I don't know, I think she's like a nurse. And then we're like talking about other kind of stuff and blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, okay. I'm like, well, I got to go. And she's like, I'm going to buy you a drink. And I'm like, okay, I need to go. She's like, no, I'm buying you a drink. So there's this aggressive nature as well. Grabs me, walks out together, like firm. Again, it's like not fun and warm. It's like a little bit like I'm on edge. Then this old man just maybe cuts in front of us to go down the stairs, or he just gets there a little bit before us. Do you know what this woman does? She pretends to kick him down the stairs and he sees it. And I'm like, oh! I like go to my instinct to like stop her. And I'm also like, it's not really funny and he's not laughing. And then she keeps talking. She keeps saying, so she's like, you better watch out. We're going to kick you down the stairs. And I'm just like laughing because it's like so awkward. And he's
how
just
like,
get
into this?
I know, Lauren, I know. And she's hot. So we look like we're friends, but I'm also like, what the fuck is happening? We get to the bottom of the steps. She goes straight to the bar, and then this is where she becomes silent. And then you know what I do, Lauren, when there's a silence? Mama chats, mama talks, mama speaks. I'm like, hey, we just met in the bathroom. I'm like speaking to the bar, like to the people at the bar. And I'm like, wow, what is this place? It's cool. And then she tells me, she's like, maybe you should be quiet. Like something being like, stop talking as much.
Oh my God. And where was Ben as well?
Ben, now? Sorry, Ben's waiting outside. He's just like waiting for me to piss.
Fucking hell. You're at the bar with this girl. Chatting to the bartender now, and she's like, stop talking. Poor boyfriend playing Angry Birds by himself outside.
And then the bar guy gives this woman like the biggest, like dirtiest look. And I guess what I got from it was, I think they don't trust this woman. Like she's cut off vibes, like something, like they're not happy with her.
Yeah,
it was very obvious.
She's up there every week getting naked on the sink. I don't think they'd be happy with her.
Totally. And so anyways, I'm just going like, so then the guy finally gets to me and he's like, what do you want? And so I'm like, just checking in with her. I'm like, are you still happy to do this? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, I'll get a rosé. And he's like, is this drink for you? Like checking that I'm not buying it for her. And I was like, whoa, no. Is that still fine? She's like, yeah. And then he goes, that'll be that. So he already like, he doesn't ask her for, so she's clearly like cut off. Mm. And it was so awkward and uncomfortable. And so I was just like, okay. And then I'm like, are you happy to pay? And she's like, goes to get something from her bag. And now I'm stuck with these two bar people who are staring at me and I feel like I'm in trouble. And I'm like, sorry, do we need to talk? Are you guys okay? Like, what's happening? And they're like, no, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And I was like, I'm just a girl, went to the toilet. I went up. This woman like said she's going to buy me a drink. Like, I don't have to take it. Like, I don't know what's happening. And they're like, no, she's just like cut off. And like, as long as this is for you, like, it's fine. But like, just checking you're okay. And I'm like, yeah, she pays. And then I'm like, should we go be with your friends? Or my boyfriend's outside. And she's like, let's go outside. Go outside. Tell Ben what's going on. Introduce her. We're sitting down. I'll try and speed this along, but there's like so much to the storyline. You're going to die.
Conchella.
It's a saga. I'm sorry.
But can then, I like, just say? No. Yes. I want to hear the saga. And also like the other thing I had to say, I think I even already talked about it, so it's fine. And we've got gossip. It's fine. But like this would have ended, okay, if this was me, sliding doors, mm-hmm. okay? If it's mm-hmm. like a, you know that bit in 500 Days of Summer where it's like,
yes!
Expectations. Okay, say that's the movie and it's you and us. I'm in the bathroom washing my hands. She comes in and she goes, I love your jacket. I would have been like, oh, thanks. And then she starts to say something else and I'd like nod and be like, oh, I've got to go. Thanks so much. And then I'd leave. Then that end of the
and
movie.
And that's the end of the story and the
you're
movie.
You're watching her piss. You're... I would have run away from her and then I would have gone outside and Alex would be like, did you want to get a drink? And I'd be like, no, let's go. A woman, talk to me.
Absolutely. And that's what I wish it could have been.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you what my friend said after this when I told her. So anyways, now we're sitting outside. I have a story. I have a rosé. I'm sitting there with Ben and her and she's saying that, you know, asking her about nursing. I'm like, what's the most fucked up thing you've ever seen? She shows me this horrible photo of a foot. That's like looks like a foot that's like exploded like a cabbage. It's disgusting, but it's like not as disgusting. Like if it was something with bone and blood, like I think it would have been worse. But it was just like maybe I've seen enough fucked up shit that I was like, oh, this is kind of bad. But it was from someone injecting between their toes. Something must have happened, and then she showed Ben, and Ben was like, oh, blah, blah. Anyways, but then she was telling these crazy stories that Ben and I now dispute over whether they or not they are true. But again, we have to take into the fact that her saying things, it was very hard to understand. So she was saying like she never wanted to do nursing and her mum's the head of like big person in nursing in New South Wales and her father's a big person in law in New South Wales. And so the main thing she's saying is like she went on holidays and she like lived in Europe for like 8 years and she like when she would stay at these hostels, if people would get sick, people would come to her, and then she would call her mum and her mum would tell her what to do. And like, they went to this like music festival where like everyone was like throwing mud and getting into a mud fight, and they had like cuts and things, and then it all got infected and one guy almost lost his eye, and it was like and she was like just freaking out and like always having to help people and call her mum. Then she said homeless people come in all the time, and one time, I think she was saying it was a lot of times, but one time a homeless guy came in and they went to take his shoe off and his whole foot came off with it.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And so I believe that that is something that could happen. Ben's like, yeah. I don't think that's happening all the time. And
it's not happening all the time.
All
I'm
the
sure
time.
It's happened.
It's happened, right? But I think that's what we're disputing over, how often that happens. Because I guess she was making it seem that it happens all homeless
every
people are walking.
Day. The feet just come off. Their feet come off. They're like Bratz dolls.
That's what someone said, yeah. So there's that. She's talking us, and then she keeps talking about how like she lived in Melbourne and Melbourne's so much better, and her parents, they bought this house in Melbourne for 500 grand. It was 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom. And she kept saying it's 500. It's like, it's so expensive in Sydney. Like, it's just like, sounds, she's like a bit like, sounds a little bit insufferable of like,
yeah, I think like, I got have, that. I got yeah, that vibe yeah. that she's a little bit insufferable.
Insufferable, yes. Anyway, sorry, I'm moving it along. So then, okay. I'm like, okay, we got to go to this gig. I finished my rosé. And also this other woman walked past who was leaving, who was like, bye. And I'm telling you right now, Lauren, it had the vibe of someone she met while drunk who like aren't real friends, but like must have been really open. And so she, I was like, okay, she's getting around.
Yeah.
Then we're like, we got to go to this gig. It's at this place. And I don't know if I probably gave inviting energy, but she was like, can I come? And I was like, yeah, sure. So now we're walking down the street and I'm like, what's good around here? And, you know, it's sort of getting stuff. Then as we go to cross the street, she holds my hand. So we're getting affection, but it's not warm. It's just like weird, just like touching, just holding my hand. Okay. It's so weird.
Did she try to fuck you in Ben at the end? Is this – okay.
Spoilers? Sort of. I'm letting you – I'm going to let what you think come out of this. But okay. She just holds my hand and we walk across the road, but it's not – super warm. It's not super slutty. It's just like holding hands, but she's made the move. So now we're crossing. We get into this bar and now I'm with all the comics. And then another weird thing is like, I feel like I owe this woman to like get into this gig for free. I'm like, she's with us. So I've let Kristen Elderfield know like, but it's this like crazy drunk woman. And I'm like, no, she doesn't have to pay. Let her just sit. And now Ben's getting us water. And I'm like, maybe I should help sober up. I'm like, should I get you water? And she's like, no. She goes and gets herself another drink. And that's when I'm like, there's no hope for you. I can't. You must do this. You must be like, I've never been this drunk in my life and you're going further. So I'm like, you must just, anyways. Then, and also, by the way, she's only studying to be a nurse or something.
I was going to say, she can't be fully qualified. It's like a hard degree to be a nurse. This woman sounds insane. She couldn't do it.
And so she was saying her thesis or something is about how you don't lose your sexual drive when you like, are sick, like for people who have cancer patients, everyone cares about like their mental well-being, but no one cares about their sexual being. Like they
this
need to have
probably
sex.
Just like her private blog that she's writing. She's like, sick. When you're sick, you still want to fuck.
That's literally the vibe. What you just said. When you're sick, you still want to fuck. That was it. That was her explaining it to me. So now, time for me to do the gig. I'm on first. Ben's on second. I go up. I start fine, and then I like hate it, and it's bad, and I get off. As I get off stage and there's the minute between I'm off and Ben's on, Ben comes up to me in the most panicked I've seen him and he's like, this woman is a fucking nightmare. Like, and I was like, what? What's happened? And he's like, didn't you see? Didn't you hear? And I was like, no. And he was like, while you're on stage, he was standing by waiting to go on and she like put her arm around him and was like rubbing his back and his arm and like just all over him. And you know, Ben, like, he's uncomfortable. He's like, he was so uncomfortable. He's like, I was so uncomfortable. I was like trying to pull away and she would just pull me in more. And then Ben's like trying to pull away and like look at his phone like for the gig. And she starts shouting. She starts being like, get off your phone. Why are you on your phone? Stop. What? And like trying to take it off it. Like just being this loud, crazy psycho. And I was like, no, I didn't know. And she's gone luckily by this point. But I actually thought maybe she wasn't hitting on him. I think she just was this like weirdly touchy person, like who just had no boundaries because she was so drunk. And so it was this insane night. And when I told my friend, she was like, Conchetta, that is absolutely people pleasing. She was like, anyone else would have been like, see you, bye. Like, fuck off. And if she said, fuck off, you're a bitch, like, why would you care about this drunk woman's opinion of you? Like, if you can't make boundaries with a random drunk stranger, how can you make any boundaries with your friends and family? And darling, that is where I leave this, because that is my life's mission that I have to work on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is mental, Conchetta, and that is an amazing example of boundaries. And then also the points at which you thought her behavior was unacceptable is really strange. Like, she was unacceptable in the bathroom when you met. That was where she crossed the line. Like, that's where it should have ended. Before she even peed in front of you, actually, she crossed a boundary. And then it's like you've brought her to a second location. She's having another drink, and that surprised you for some reason. That's really interesting that's surprising. And then she touched your boyfriend, and you were like, what?
Yeah. I just was trying to be nice.
I'm not trying to shame you. This is interesting.
I think it's like my thing of like trying to be nice and like give people the benefit of the doubt can just sometimes like go so, so, so far. I mean, we wrapped it up in like giving my number to the homeless man that kept calling me like all the time and messaging me and wanting me to hang out. And it's like, there's got to be some boundaries. So that's the story. Yeah.
Can you?
And yes, you can.
We'll go into gossip after this and I'll finish on a quote. Okay. I'll finish on a quote that I heard from Brené Brown. She was quoting someone else named Prentice Hemphill, a writer. And it was, the quote is, boundaries are the distance at which I can love you and me simultaneously. Okay? And that's all I'm going to say. Because the boundaries, they're not just for them. They're not just for you. It's for them too. Like, because then you let her cross your boundaries so many times and you ended up, you know, not liking her. But you could have just been nice to her in the bathroom and left it at that.
Yeah.
And left it at that, you know? But anyway,
thank you. Thank you. And thank you. And that's the story for everyone.
Let's get into some gossip, okay?
Some gossip, even though that was gossip in itself about me.
It's gossip time.
It's gossip time, girlies.
Come take a seat in the gossip corner.
Choo-choo.
All aboard the gossip train.
Please take me away with this Lea Michele gossip into listener gossip.
Okay, Lea Michele gossip, we firstly just have to address it because she's kind of in the BNT universe, I guess. She's a BNTini, our Lea Michele.
Queen of the BNTinis.
Queen of the BNTinis, Lea Michele. So Lea Michele, everyone knows who's watched Glee. Everyone who's watched 5 seasons of Glee in the past month, me, knows that Lea Michele and her character Rachel Berry have always wanted to play the character Fanny Bryce in Funny Girl. And then Funny Girl is on Broadway. And
yes, I follow it.
Yeah, it's old news now, but Beanie Feldstein is playing Fanny. And I love Beanie Feldstein. We stan.
Love, we stan. I feel like that's a great casting. And if I think of – do you think of Lea in this?
Let's continue.
Okay, sorry.
I do, and I love Beanie. She's a very funny actress in her own right and also sister of our king, Jonah Hill. but Beanie has actually – the reviews have come out for the show, and Beanie's not a strong enough singer. So she's a great character. She's such a fun character for the part, and it's perfect. But it's – Barbara Streisand played this role. Yeah. You know, it's Don't Rain on My Parade. There's – big songs, and apparently her voice is just not up to scratch. Like, because to be a musical theater singer, it's not even just like, it's not like a casual singer. That's like trained, strong. You need to be able to belt. And honestly, like, Lea Michele can, and she looks the part. She's a, you know, Jewish actress, and she, like, following in the footsteps of Barbara, like, she can belt the song. So, like, Lea must be pretty vindicated. Do you think?
That is so great gossip. That is such fucking great gossip, because I followed this. I'm like, that's so cool for Beanie. I never thought about that she's an actress, not from a musical theater background, and how much that work that takes.
And it's hard.
And like, I guess they got her because like she would be great, but also is like a big star, maybe like very hot right now. Whereas Lea Michele is not hot right now as much.
Soft cancelled, really.
Yes.
And then the other Lea.
But can I just say, I just want to say that Lea to me says has less funny and Beanie has more funny, but yeah. then you've shown me that singing might be – theater is generally, what have we said, like it's not comedic haha all the time. It's actually yeah. like totally different, and it's more important about the like singing, dancing, gags, splits, jumps, whatever. And yeah. we have to respect that, because if you really want funny, you got to go to stand-up. You got to go to fucking movies or some shit. Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. That's just what I want to say. If I was actually going to be like, no, Leah, you can't do this. But now you've made me think, yes, Leah, you should do this.
Leah should do it. And it's a shame she didn't. And then the other Leah Michelle gossip, just to mention, I think maybe some people would have seen it. There's been like, it's like the anniversary or something of Spring Awakening, which is a big musical that she did with Jonathan Groff, who was Jesse St. James in Glee, if you remember. And they're like best friends. And then Leah Michelle, this story came out that said, because Jonathan Groff is, God, I just mixed up the F and the TH. I've also been sick too. He's gay, and he was talking to Leah Michelle, and he was like, oh, I've never like seen a vagina. And she apparently like got under her desk lamp and like showed him her vagina like up close in the light, and he inspected it. And like that was a news story, and they told the news about that. Just thinking about that.
To me, that's the most normal thing that could happen. I think that's what true friends would do. And that's why I think that's where we differ. Of like, I was like, Lauren, I would get a lamp and show you my pussy if I was like, I need you to see something in here. What's going on? I think a real true friend would do that. So I would go to Jonathan, I would go to Leah. But instead, you leave me out in the cold, my little fanny out in the cold.
Would you, if you, okay, gun to your head.
Please put the gun to my temple.
You have the chance to meet Leah Michelle, and she'll come on the podcast, but to do that...
Would I show her my vagina?
Yeah.
Yes.
With a light.
In 100 different ways. Absolutely. Yeah. Whatever she wants.
I probably would too, as long as like she wanted to. It wasn't like I had to orchestrate a situation in which she has to...
Yeah, I would want Leah's consent for sure.
Yeah, and she has to like be in on it as like a thing. You know, she has to be like, oh, well, she's going to show me her vagina, and then now...
I just picture us talking about this with like management of being like, yeah, so Leah's coming on. We obviously have to do the vagina showing at 12, and we'll do the pod at 1:30.
And Blake, our producer, is like, oh, okay. So you guys need the studio to show her your vagina beforehand? Like, do we need to make the booking for a half hour before? Or are you guys just going to do that your own?
This is iconic. This episode is iconic. Change nothing. Keep it all. I want to go into some listener gossip. This is a bit of an older submission, but it's on the topic of big names. We have some Britney Spears gossip, and I just love the wording of this gossip from a girly. So she says, so this story seems unbelievable if you don't know my uncle, but I just have to promise you it's true. And can I say that line? I picture you saying that to someone about me and the story of the drunk woman coming to the gig.
It is.
Okay, so it's just about this uncle who's the general manager of a really exclusive hotel chain, and he like goes up for a smoke when he's like having dinner at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and then this woman comes up to him, I think to bum a cigarette. And
Can I have a cigarette, please? Was that my Britney? Yeah.
And then that was so good.
Yeah.
And then she was just, he mentioned he was from Australia, and she was saying she has an Australian boyfriend. And then she like leaves after a little bit, and someone comes up to him after and is like, dude, you know that was fucking Britney Spears. Oh, and the thing about the uncle is he knows nothing about anything pop culture.
That's fun.
And that's the story.
He's just loved a man. It. And Britney would have liked that interaction too. She would have felt nice and normal that he was just a nice woman. Yes. Man. Okay. We've got a ghost story. Maybe we could do that.
Yes.
We'll do the I'll do this other gossip and then we'll finish on the ghost story. How's that? Unless you had another one. Oh, wait.
No.
Okay. Because this other one, I mean, it's not that crazy, but just this, we had an amazing listener all the way from California. That's the gossip, to be honest. But they were listening to an old episode about the nude beach, and he remembered that when he was like, about 24 in college and stuff, he was in his apartment complex's pool. He like walked in and he could see a girl that was like suntanning face down, and he like clanged the gate shut and set all his stuff up like about 15 feet away, he said, which I have no idea how far that distance is, you know, because that's the imperial system. I guess like 15 feet, that's like two and a half men.
The show, the TV show.
Yeah, so that's probably the length of Charlie Sheen lying down and
the Sun,
the Sun, and the other one, Cryer, John Cryer. That's probably, that probably is about 15 feet because Charlie Sheen's probably about 6 feet.
So fucking
the other one is like 5'7".
That's, you know how there's the imperial system, the metric system. This is the, like, the girly system.
It's men, okay.
It's men.
So he, like, he sat up on his chair, which was about 2.5 men away. And then he realized, like, oh, she mustn't know that I'm here, because she, like, turned around and sat up, like, completely topless. And she's, like, took her top off to suntan her boobs. She still hadn't seen him. And he was like, oh, I'm here. And he was like, do I say something? But then, like, too much time passed and he, like, couldn't say anything. So he just, like, put his headphones on and, like, sat the other way. And then, like, 20 minutes later, he's just, like, still sitting there. And then eventually his friend her friend came. And then they saw him. They were like, oh. And then he was like, but, yeah, just – if that is awkward, because you know when it's like there's a time period in which you can say something and then that time passes.
And then it, and then the window, it closes.
The window closes. And then it's like 20 minutes later being like, hey, I'm here. You can't do that.
You can't do that. But that's the politics of the nude beach. These are the little things. And did I talk about in my nude beach, the guy asking guys to like put the oil on my back? Like,
yeah,
it's just different. It's like a wacky universe where you think the same rules apply. It's different. Like, that's the tent. No one has to be like, oh, sorry, I'm here. It's different because she's topless. Even though he has every right to also be the beat, like, it's just this crazy little world.
But also, I might say, don't.
No, don't do it.
I think at almost any beach or pool complex, approaching a random man and asking him to rub oil on your naked back could be interpreted in some kind of way. And that's all I'll say. That's all I'll say about that.
You should maybe say the boundaries quote again. Should we finish on the ghost gossip, madam?
Let's finish on some ghost gossip. And thank you very much, listeners. You've been wonderful. So this comes from one of our amazing girlies who was listening to our back catalogue. And if you haven't already listened, we've got like a ghost episode, so do listen to that. She says, my ghost story is my mum's. Back in the 80s, a retro ghost. Her dad was dying.
I'm picturing the ghost in shoulder pads.
Yeah. It's like a flock of seagulls ghost.
Yes.
She said that her mum's dad was dying of lung cancer in a hospital 200 kilometers away from where her and my dad live. Oh, my God. See, I hate it when there's these layers. There's dads. There's already too many dads in this story. So it was like her grandfather was dying 200 kilometers away from where they and their family lived. And she was standing in the hallway and her dad appeared in front of her to tell her that he loved her and take care of all her boys. So moments later, she gets a call from like the grandma, her mum, to tell her that he'd just passed away in the hospital. So she was like 200 kilometers away and she saw him in her house and said like, I love you, goodbye. And then straight afterwards, she gets a phone call to say that he just died. That's pretty good.
That's a fucking great story. That is like, that's like a moment that she experienced that she'll have forever. That's insane and no one can take away from you. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Anyway.
Mic drop. Speechless. That's silence. It.
Goosebumps. The ghost.
That's it.
Came.
The ghost. I think this episode should be called 2.5 Men.
Yes. That was good because I was like, I mean, this gossip isn't that crazy. Should I even read it out? It's not wild. But then I did and just a great riff came of it. So that's yep. Life, isn't it? You never know.
Yep. You got to go down all the rabbit holes, actually, except a drunk girl in a Piedmont hotel. You have to have boundaries for that kind of rabbit hole.
You got to go down some of the rabbit holes. And that's maybe another little turn of phrase we can add to the repertoire.
Well, another app done and dusted. Thank you for your patience, listeners. We love you, but we are going to be back in action with touring finished for the both of us.
Yes.
Get over to our Patreon if you're not there. There's like a huge back catalog of Patreon episodes where we keep it more raw, real, uncut, and we'll be doing more innovative things over in the Patreon as the time goes on. Follow us on Instagram if you don't already, and you can get in touch with us there. And send us gossip. Like, it's gossip isn't over.
Yeah.
Gossip continues. Please. Anything that happens in your life, we're the other two people you have to message in the group chat.
Yeah.
So it's at Big Natural Talents. And that's all I've got to say.
Yeah, shoot us through some gossip. And also, if you sent us some gossip that's really good and we haven't done it yet, we might have lost it or something in our crazy haze this past few weeks. So just ping us and remind us again, like hit us up. And also, I think this episode will come out in the same week that my Sydney Comedy Festival show is on. So if you're in Sydney, it's the last time I'm doing it. It's the last stop in the run, my home show. Please come along. I'd love to see you there on the 19th and the 20th at the Enmore Theatre. And that's all, girls. Bye.
That's all. Enjoy. Bye.
Bye.